This morning I'd like to talk to you about what we must find our strength again. As the body of Jesus Christ, there is a specific strength that God promises us, and you and I must discover it again, especially now. Hebrews chapter 10, if you can turn there, and Psalm 77. Hebrews chapter 10 and Psalm 77. Now, while you're turning there, I'd like to pray. And Father, I thank you with all my heart. God, your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. We thank you, God, with all of our heart, in Jesus' name, for illuminating your word, causing it to shine in our minds and in our hearts, letting faith begin to increase within us, oh God, and giving us the strength that we need, God, to be examples of you and lights in a darkened time. Help us, oh God, help me today, Lord, to speak this. I come to you, Lord God, as I do every week, knowing that if you don't overshadow the frailty of this human vessel, all I can do is present a few arguments about Scripture, but there will be no life-transforming power if you don't quicken the word. I am dependent on you, Lord, and I thank you for that dependence. I praise you, God, with all my heart, that you have never, ever sent a hungry soul out of this house, God, without answering the questions of their heart. God, let your word live today. Let it live inside of us. I pray that it might be like the word that you spoke, Jesus, to the men on the road to Emmaus, where it caused their hearts to burn. And though they were going one way, they turned and went another, the way of God. I pray, God, with all my heart, help us. Touch my lips today, oh God. Multiply this word and feed those that have come in to hear it today. In Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 10, we must find our strength again, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. In other words, the writer of Hebrews is saying that God, through his son Jesus Christ, when Christ died on the cross, he made a way into the very presence of God. For up to that time, remember that to experience a face-to-face encounter with God meant certain death. But he abolished that when he died in our place and made a way for us to come to the throne of God. I thank God for that with all my heart. Verse 21 says, "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let me read that last verse again. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." As you and I see this hour of evil, this canopy of darkness that wants to envelop the whole world today, as we see this day of Christ's return approaching, as in our hearts we begin to understand, soon and very soon we are going to see the King. We know that the enemy will come in like a flood to destroy, to deceive, to swallow, because he hates humanity for one specific reason, that we are made in the very image of God, and we are the one thing in this universe that God's focus. The Bible says we're the apple of his eye. That means the pupil of his eye is focused on you. You are the source of his affection. You are his beloved. You are his longed for. You are his joy. You are his crown. Everything in the heart of God is about you. You have to understand that. That's what the cross is all about. And because the devil hates God, he hates what God loves and sets out to wound the heart of God by destroying that which is the most precious to him. And as we see this conflict deepening in our society and around the world today, we are exhorted to gather together to pray. We are exhorted to come together for fellowship. We are exhorted to assemble together simply to worship God and to thank God for who He is and for what He has done and will continue to do for us. We are encouraged to encourage one another and telling each other even more that God will be faithful, God will keep you, God will help you, God is working in my life, God will work in your life. More so even as we see the day approaching. There's an incredible strength to be found in just being here together today. You know, though for some, you not yet fully understand what God has placed all around you. You know, you feel like maybe you're just one weak person in a sanctuary of 1,600 other weak people. In measure, that's true. But there's also a great strength here. Although in many times we don't fully see it. We come into the house of God and we've been praying. This has been our prayer, like David in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I will cry to you. In other words, I'm near the end, God of my strength. I feel like everything is caving in around me. I feel like society itself is imploding. I don't see a future. And David says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that's why many are here today. That's why you've come in online. Your prayer is, God, lead me to that place where I can see again my purpose on the earth, where I can see where strength is found, where I can have eyes of faith and understanding. Help me, Lord. It's so easy now to get overwhelmed, isn't it? It happens to even those among us who are naturally enthusiastic and strong. It can happen because of unforeseen circumstances or sudden failure or repeated failure. It can happen because we find ourselves just fighting against hell. Like Paul the Apostle said, I got fears inside and I got fightings without. It seems like there's no rest no matter where I look. Even as the psalmist David once said, I looked to my right hand and to my left and refuge failed me. And it seemed like there was nothing that could satisfy my soul everywhere I looked around. Sometimes it's just the eventual wearing down of our resolve by the continual pressure that surrounds us every day, where you have to work, the neighborhood you live in, just having to drive in this insane traffic every day into New York City and drive home. Many people are just spending, or on the subway, you're just spending like probably 3-4 hours a day just commuting, just trying to go to work. Then you got to go into this place where there's this pressure put on you, especially as a believer in Christ. You're not even allowed an opinion. Your job is in jeopardy. If you have an opinion, you're not even allowed it anymore. And you don't know what to do. The pressure is just everywhere. And you feel like the psalmist who cried out and said, God, help me, for godly men are nowhere to be found anymore. What are we going to do? It seems like the enemy has come in and set fire to everything that was holy, everything that I valued, everything that I've learned is good. It seems like it's all on fire. And at one time, there was such beauty around me, the psalmist says, but now they're coming in with axes and hammers, and they're literally breaking apart our society, everything around that was right for thousands of years, and suddenly it's all just changing almost overnight. And on top of that, people are fighting in their own marriages. There's struggles in the home, with family, with children, struggles at work, struggles with finances, trying to pay the bills. And on top of that, you have just this barrage of bad news every day. Going on the internet, picking up a newspaper, your tendency to say, is nobody happy anymore? Are there any good people left in the world? Every once in a while, it seems like one of our news outlets just squeaks in. You got to go to page 14 to find it, mind you, but they squeak in the story about somebody who did something good. It's just bad news constantly. And it can happen to the godliest of people, even a people with a history of victory, of just suddenly saying, God, I'm not even in a place of even discussing making any kind of a difference for your kingdom. I'm just on fumes. And I've come into the house of God and I'm just looking for some segment of some portion of strength just to get me through this life as I find it. You know, the one thing I can tell you to encourage you is you're not alone. You're not the only one going through this. People all over the world are going through this now. Christians, some are losing their lives for the cause of Christ. As we are gathered here to discuss these things, others are having to pay for it with blood. We've not resisted to that yet. But we know in our hearts that this is a difficult moment and say, God, you're going to have to give me strength that I don't naturally have now. You're going to have to help me because I recognize I can't get through this on my own. I'm not even anywhere near thinking about doing something great for the kingdom of God. I just want to survive. I just want to get over the finish line. I just want to make it into eternity and not lose my testimony. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 77. I cried out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing, and my soul refused to be comforted. It's like the person here this morning that's, you go to bed at night and you want to pray, but you raise your hand and say, oh God, God, where am I going to find the strength for another day? Where am I going to find the love that I need for these people that hate me? Where am I going to find the resources I need to feed my family? Where am I going to find hope and help for my marriage, my home? I remembered God in verse 3 and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. In other words, the spirit of this age, the psalmist was saying, of his time, started to get a hold of me. And I started speaking what the people on the radio speak or on the internet speak. And I started speaking as they speak. I lost those sweet words of faith that used to be part of my life. And my spirit started to get overwhelmed. That's why it's so important, folks. You, at some point in your life, you have to make a choice and decide to go with God. You have to make a choice, and as the Apostle Paul tells us, you have to think on things that are lovely, that are virtuous, that are of good report. You have to spend time in the Word of God. You have to find fellowship in the family of God with people of faith, not people who just live to pull the spiritual plug on your bathtub. You have to find friendship among those who are risk takers, may I say, for the kingdom of God, and are willing to believe the word of God and will sharpen you and exhort you. It's so important to have friends in your life now that are people of faith. The psalmist says in verse 4, you hold my eyelids open. That's quite an accusation against God, really. In other words, God, you put your fingers in my eyes and you won't let me sleep. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart and my spirit makes diligent search. In other words, the psalmist is saying, I'm thinking about what the report that I've heard in the scriptures of who you are and what you've done. And there was a time, Lord, when that occupied my thoughts and it made me sing when I went to bed. There was a time when faith was so deep in my heart that it was a song that couldn't be taken away from me. Now I find I'm, instead of singing, I'm complaining. Instead of sleeping, as the scripture says, I can't because I'm so troubled. I'm thinking about these things in my heart and I'm making a diligent search. In other words, I don't want to live in this place. I don't want to be like this because I know in my heart, walking with God is supposed to be different than this. But somehow I've fallen in this hole. That's why David the psalmist says, lead me to the rock. Lead me to a place that's of standing that's higher than where I am. I'm in a place where I feel like I'm sinking. Get me out and put me in a solid place, a higher place than where I am. Help me to see again, God, who you are in Christ and who I am in you and what purpose of my life is on the earth and where my strength can be found. And he says in verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Anybody here ever felt like that? God, are you just going to walk away from me? That's what he's saying. Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Have you ever been in a place where you're just saying, you don't even have a prayer anymore. You only got to scream when you open your mouth. God, I remember praying like that one time. I just opened my mouth and just was a groan. Nothing else would come out. It's like, God, where are you? Where are your promises? Where is Where's my song? Why am I going through this as your child? Have I sinned against you? Are you angry with me? Have you written me off? I know I fail. I know I struggle, but I was told that you will never leave me or forsake me. But yet, God, I don't see you. I don't feel you anywhere near me. And then I said in verse 10, this is my anguish. Or the King James original says, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. In other words, this is my problem. It's not God's. The psalmist finally comes to that point of saying, the problem is not with God. The problem is with me. I have allowed my thinking to grow dark and dull. I have allowed my circumstances to begin to dictate to my heart. I have put away the word of God from my thinking every day that is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. I've allowed all the things that are around me, surrounding me, to occupy my mind and my heart and my thoughts. I've begun to complain, and now my spirit is overwhelmed. And the psalmist says, this is my problem. You see, if that's the beginning of getting free, is when we don't blame God and we don't question God. God is faithful. He can't be anything other than what he is. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, that has to be true because he's not a man who can lie. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He told you, he told me, all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. There are classrooms that God will take you and I through that we don't understand. We don't want to sign up for it. We don't want to be there. We don't even want the diploma at the end of it. But somewhere along the line, we said, God, use my life. God, help me. God, change. We threw it out so flippantly. Help me, change me, use me, mold me, make me. We sang the songs. Oh, it was so sweet. Wasn't it to sing it in church? And the Lord looks down and says, okay. I mean, I'm going to have to put you on a wheel. I'm going to have to just take that clay and just smuck it down from every side, press it. And I'm going to have to put my hands to it, and I'm going to have to remold it. And you're going to look like this for a while as you go around on the wheel. And you're going to say, where are you? What's happening? This is not my viewpoint of the Christian life. In most of the classrooms I've been in throughout my life, I've not understood what God was doing until I was way past it. And then I looked back and said, oh, now I understand what that was about. Now I understand what he was doing. This is my infirmity. You see, that's why Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have that power in prayer to cast down these arguments from the devil himself that hates us because we are made in the image of God and tries to accuse the faithfulness of God by pointing out our flaws and our failures and our struggles and our trials and everything that's around us, and trying to tell us if God was with you, why are you, as he did with Christ in the wilderness, if God's with you, why are you hungry? If God's with you, why are you in this place? If you are the Son of God, and the devil will be there, and he will accuse constantly Christ and his church. The psalmist then turns in verse 11. He says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of all. I will remember. I will not allow myself just to dwell on the present. I will remember what God did for me. You must, once in a while, like David did when he found himself in a hard place, you must sit down and encourage yourself in the Lord. You must remember where God brought you from. You must think about. Yeah, life is tough. I get that. Life is tough for all of us. But you think about where you would be without Christ today. Think about what your life would look like. Some of you would not be here. You'd already be dead and in hell if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. I will meditate on your work. In other words, I'm going to let the promises of God come back and take their rightful place in my heart. God is not going to forsake me. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I can condemn. I can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I can go to the throne of God. I can go there boldly. I can find grace to help in my time of need. God will not reject me. God will not forsake me. your way, O God. In verse 13, he says in Psalm 77, your way is in the sanctuary. Your way. Today, as I sit in your presence, I know what I feel, that what I feel is who you are, and it is what you do. Your way is here. You see, I don't have to leave this feeling I have this morning as we sang our songs and about how he's high and lifted up and his robe fills the temple, about how he is worthy to be praised, worthy to be exalted. We feel the presence of God. We it's so strong. The psalmist says, but that is who you are. I just have a tendency to forget when I leave. When I leave this presence of the people of God and the fellowship of God's people, and I'm out there alone again in the marketplace, I have a tendency to forget. But this is what you do. This is who you are. He says, who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. You have. There's incredible strength here today. God's strength is here. God has declared his strength. The psalmist says, you have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. You have. That's why we're not to neglect the assembling of ourselves or to stop encouraging each other, because the strength of God is here. His strength has been made known. His strength is being made known. The devil would have us believe that we're all struggling and there's no victory for anybody. This whole thing is a losing kingdom, just like he did to the people of Israel in Egypt, trying to put in over them taskmasters and trying to convince them that they were less than they really were, and trying to convince them that God was not with them anymore. But I remind you, the devil is a liar. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You see, that's why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, because in this room, there's a sound. I leaned over to Pastor Teresa. I said, there's a sound here today that I love. It's a sound of health. It's a sound of people who have a strong confidence in God. It's a sound of a people who are walking with God. And it's line by line. I know that. And it's field by field. But they're experiencing the victory of God. There's a sound when God's people are walking in victory. I used to know it as a shepherd when I'd walk in the barn at night. I could tell by the sound what was going on among that flock of sheep. And there's a sound here. Praise God. I know there are people here that you've come in and you're grasping for strength, and you're wondering if God is still with us. You're wondering if he's walked away because we've so sinned away our day of grace as a nation and as a society. But I tell you, when we gather together to fellowship, when we start to worship God, there's something of God's strength in fellowship that you're not going to find anywhere else. There's a reminder in the church of Jesus Christ, when we gather together to corporately worship God, there's a reminder of who he is and what he has done among us. I'll prove it to you. I'm going to ask you to do something just for a moment. Every person who's here, who is convinced that if Christ had not intervened in your life, you would be dead today. I'm convinced of it myself, because I was a heavy drinker with a real bad temper when I was young. I would do crazy things. But by God's mercy, he kept me alive. By God's mercy, he brought me to himself at the age of 24. But how many are in this room, you say, by the grace of God, I am still alive. By the grace of God, he has kept me. I'm going to ask you to praise God for that. Bless the Lord. Look around you. Look around you. Look around you. How many people in the sanctuary today were delivered from committing suicide? I want you to stand. You were delivered from committing suicide. Look around you, folks. Look around you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Stay standing. Stay standing. How many people were delivered from addiction, drugs or alcohol, or addictions of the mind? How many were set free from addiction? Look around you. Look around you, folks. Look around you. How many that are here this morning, you had no purpose in life? You felt hopeless. You felt lost. You felt like your life had no meaning. But Christ brought you to himself, and now you have hope in your heart. Now you have life. Just stand up wherever you are. Hallelujah. How many people here this morning, you were blind. You had no direction in life. You were wounded in your heart. Things that happened to you, you thought, am I ever going to survive this wound? Am I ever going to get through it? But Christ found you. Christ met you. And your heart is healed. Stand up wherever you are. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. You see, the point is, God is working. God is working with power. God is working with grace. Don't let the devil tell you that God has withdrawn his mercy. Don't let him tell you that his promises have failed. That's why we come together. That's why the writer of Hebrews says we need to exhort one another to love and good works, and even the more. We need to just have kind words and say, my brother, my sister, don't give up. God is still for you. God is not against you. Now I want you to think about how the psalmist started in Psalm 77. Let's look at how he finishes now. He talks about, God, you have redeemed your people with a strong hand, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And he goes into verse 16, he says, the waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you and they were afraid. The depths also trembled. In other words, there was, when you have determined to set your people free, even nature trembles. There's nothing. Nothing. There's nothing impossible that can stand in the way of God's people when God decides to bring us to a place of freedom. Nothing. There's no prison door can hold you. No wound of the past can continue to drag your face down into the dust. There is nothing can stop you from becoming what God has determined you to be. Nothing. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. David talked about this in Psalm 18 when he says, I was surrounded by enemies and I cried out to God. And then he describes this incredible upheaval in nature all around him. God showing him every way that he was able to see it, how much he was willing to fight for him. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. God Almighty, if we could fully see what he has done to set us free, if we could fully understand how he is engaged in keeping us, he's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you go. Let me put it simply. Jesus Christ didn't die for you to let the devil roll over you. When he determines to set you free, when you call out to him, you say, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. I don't know how I'm going to get through, but you're going to get me through. I don't know what good can come of this, but I know that you are good and that you promised me all things do work together for good. And so one day I will see, one day I will understand, one day I will know why this was allowed into my life. I don't fully get it, but oh God, I know that nothing that hell or this world can throw at me can stop me because I'm a child of God now. There's no threat that can stop the work of God from flowing through my life. And the last verse of Psalm 77 is one that I really love. It says, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. In other words, lest the people should say, lest the people should point to flesh, lest the people should start looking to humanity as their deliverer. I'm going to send an 80-year-old man and an 83-year-old brother of his. The guy with the stick is too weak to even deliver a one-line sermon, so his brother is going to deliver it for him. And through them, I'm going to bring millions of people out of bondage through the Red Sea. I'm going to bring them into the promised land. That's who God is. That's who he is. That's what he does. That's what he will do for you. That's where you find your strength again. It's not in being strong in yourself. It's realizing that all my strength is in him. It's all in Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. In the natural, it was insane. A people who are in Egypt led to believe that they were powerless, led to believe that they were the minority, led to believe that they had no influence around them. And into town comes two old men who are going to lead them, stand before the mightiest army on the face of the earth and say, let my people go. But this is who God is. And you see, because you feel weak, it doesn't mean that you aren't victorious. It doesn't mean that you're not going forward, because the strength is not in you, it's in him. It's not our plans, it's his. He's guiding, he's leading. He hasn't abandoned you, hasn't forsaken you. And I know I'm speaking in the spirit this morning. I know that he spoke this to my heart. My altar call this morning is very, very simple. I'm weak, but you are strong. Help me to believe you. He's not offended by that prayer, you know. When you read the Psalms, you find that's in many of them. He was never offended. As a matter of fact, he called the writer of many of them a man after his own heart. Help me to believe you. David even cried out in Psalm 22, God, oh God, why have you forsaken me? Why am I praying and you're nowhere to be found? Why are you letting my enemies? He had no idea that he was praying in type of a future event at Calvary. He had no idea that God was leading him even to write this prayer down. And in the natural, it could have looked like he'd lost faith and confidence in God, but he hadn't. He was just honest with God. Just saying, Lord, I don't understand the way you're leading me, and I feel so weak. But yet, he says, I will praise him. Yet I will. Yet I will trust him. Yet I will think about how faithful he has been. I will not let my thoughts be crushed by the wickedness around me. And so my altar call is so simple. It's just, God, don't let me be overwhelmed by my own weakness, my own struggles, my own trials. You will not forsake me. And so I'm just coming to the front of this auditorium or between the screens or standing up at home for those that are listening online. And I'm just standing up and saying, Lord, I trust you. I don't understand this. And at the present, I don't see where the good in it is. But I have come together with your people to worship today, and suddenly I feel that there's strength all around me, and I am finding that strength one more time for myself and for my future, for my life. I thank God. Now I understand why Paul the Apostle said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Thank God. Don't give up. Listen to me, don't give up. No matter how hard it gets, don't give up. Christ will not fail you. He won't forsake you. He'll give you strength when you need it. And at some point in your life, you're going to pass through the classroom that you're in now, and you're going to have the diploma in your hand, and you're going to say, oh, I get it now. I get it now. When I was younger here in this church, our home in New Jersey, we didn't know it, but when the ministry bought the house, it was only 12 years old, but it had been totally infested with mold. It had a construction problem, and it was infested. As a matter of fact, when they discovered the problem, the whole of the attic, you couldn't see wood. It was just all black mold in the attic. We were breathing that. I was probably more susceptible to it because I have allergies. And so I remember I was here in this church, and I was really, we spent a few years just really fighting through some thick waters. And after we got through, I was so sick and so weak for about 7 years, roughly, and I could hardly breathe. I would see these little specks in the air all the time. And I remember one time walking down 8th Avenue, and I was heading over to a restaurant, and I said out loud, God, do I really need this? Like, I've been faithful to you. It's tough enough as it is. Do I really need this? And to my surprise, the Lord said, yes. And then I said, why do I need this? And he answered me. And I had been sick for a long time. He said, because you're very strong-willed, and I need to make you dependent on me. Are you okay with that? I'm taking away your strength so that you can't do what you want to do. You can't go where you want to go. You have to know it's me or you won't have the strength to do it. And so I have learned that all things work together for good. I could have walked away, probably throughout history some people have, and say, Lord, I served you. I gave you my life. I've come into this difficult place, and this is how you reward me. It's what you do for me. This is the trouble I experienced in my life. I thought it was going to be thus and thus and thus, and I'm so troubled, just like the psalmist. I can't sleep at night. That was part of my problem as well. And only to say, God, to have God say to you, I've been faithful to you all along. I haven't forsaken you. See, the way I walk is deeper than your understanding. And what I'm doing is deeper than you know. And to this day, I thank God for that with all my heart. I do with everything inside of me. So the altar call is just so simple. Lord, I'm weak. You are strong. You will not fail me. You won't forsake me. God, help me to not complain. Help me to trust you because I know you're going to be faithful to me. If that's in your heart, I'm going to invite you in the sanctuary, in the balcony. Just join with me at the front of this auditorium in a moment in the annex. If you could step between the screens, same thing at North Jersey. And those that are at home, you could just stand up in your living room. And we're going to take a moment to worship together. And as we worship, we're going to declare God to be faithful. That's all we're going to do. Let's stand, please. If God's calling you, just come. Just come. We'll pray together in a few moments. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Lord, today we join our voice with the psalmist David, who said, I will live, I will not die. Lord, because you are fighting for us. Thank you, O God, you will be our strength in strengthless places. Thank you, oh God, you will be what we need you to be. Lord, you will not fail us. You will not forsake us. You are fighting for us. Lord Jesus, we declare through the fire and through the flood, you will be with us. You will take us through. You will be faithful to take us through. We thank you. We can tell hell, the devil, every lie that our God is faithful and he is great. Hallelujah. So Lord, today we just say we trust you. We trust you. I thank you, Lord, that your ways are unsearchable. You don't have a track that can be followed and understood by men. But I thank you, we trust you today and lead on, Holy Spirit. Give us the strength, oh God, to keep lifting our head and declaring you good. Give us the strength to say, I believe when everything within us seems to want to take that away. But I thank you, oh God, that you died for us. Your spirit lives in us. It is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So I thank you for what you're doing today. I thank you for the trials of our faith because we're going to come through it like gold in Jesus' name. Thank you, oh Lord. So I just pray, God, would you pour your strength? Would you pour your courage? Would you pour, oh God, for those that are weary, oh God, would you pour your life? Be our quickening spirit today. And I thank you, oh God, you love us and you will love us to the end. And so we look away from our own strength and we look to you who loved us and gave himself for us and say that's good enough to defeat the darkness. And Lord, live for the benefit of others and one day be home with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.